Are you a homeschool parent looking for help teaching certain subjects? Or do you want your student to study the history, languages, and literature of Western civilization? Memoria Press Online Academy has live online classes with master teachers to help you. Their teachers have years of experience teaching, delighting, and moving students literally from all around the world. Your homeschool year doesn't have to be difficult. Visit MemoriaPressAcademy.com or call 877-745-8866.
I'm very, very serious about my Catholicism, and Hillary views that as a real asset.
Even to say to someone, do you want to have children, or do you want to have another, that is pro-choice language.
So if a student encounters a professor who's interested in gender, race in class, or LGBT issues, and those issues are going to be the defining frameworks for looking at the past, probably there's a progressive agenda at work.
The more we pray that, come Lord Jesus, the more we are freed to love God and serve our neighbor in the way we conduct ourselves as citizens.
Canadian Pipers love issues, etc.
Reading recently in the media about transgender issues, there's always an example, and you'll read a phrase like, Jane, a transgender woman. Now, if you're not paying attention, you're picturing a biological woman, but that is not what's being communicated there. What's being communicated there is a man who is living as or thinks he is a woman. And yet, you read it in the press, a transgender woman really means a man who is passing as a woman. They're never going to write all that out for you. And then we are routinely nowadays confused by the pronouns. Is a he a she, or should I be referring to that he as she? Welcome back to Issues Etc. Live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 18th of October. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to be talking about the lifestyle left and personal pronouns with Dr. Anthony Esselin of Providence College a little bit later. Beginning a series on justification in the Old Testament, we'll be looking at the roots of that idea in the book of Deuteronomy with Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer. Dr. Anthony Esselin is professor of English at Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. He's author of the books 10 Ways to Destroy the Imagination of Your Child and Ironies of Faith. He's written a recent column for the Witherspoon Institute titled Pronouns, Ordinary People, and the War Over Reality. Dr. Esselin, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd. It's great to be back here.
What do you mean when you refer to the use, the pushing of these alternate pronouns or the mixing of pronouns as a war over reality?
Well, oh my gosh, pronouns are the easiest things for people to pick up. They refer very quickly and very clearly and obviously to realities that we see right out in front of our faces, right? And in English and in the other Germanic languages, we have personal pronouns that, and the Romance languages too have developed them, personal pronouns that refer to he's and she's, right? Boys and girls and men and women, because those are obvious things. We see them in front of us every single day. Now, these are objective realities. They have nothing to do with a person's feelings, just as the speed of light has nothing to do with my feelings either. The person in front of me is a man. The person in front of me is a woman. And so I use the pronouns that are appropriate to men and women to get communication done quickly and clearly, all right, and not to muck things up and not to pretend that things are other than what they really are. So when somebody comes around and tells me, listen, you got to use my own special pronoun, why, that's as much as to say, you have to participate in my own fantasy about reality. And no, I'm not going to participate. You can't compel me to engage in your word game. That's nonsense. You're a he, I'm going to call you he. You're a she, I'm going to call you she.
How do you respond to someone who says, okay, I know a transgender, we kind of have to come back to transgendered man slash woman in a minute, but for the sake of argument, I know a man who is transitioning to live as a woman. He wants to be called she. It's only polite to accommodate him. I mean,
her.
How do you respond to that?
Every single untruth that we are required by government to tell or pressured by the people around us to engage in. Every single untruth hurts us and compromises our capacity to recognize any truths beyond that, right? There are no lies that are perfectly innocent. And this is, frankly, to participate in a lie. It's not reality. And if you want to make yourself into this sort of person eventually who can no longer distinguish reality from a phantasmagoria, reality from lies, or reality from fiction, then just start down this road. Start to accept terms that have no basis in reality. For instance, transgender. Do that, and a couple of years later, you'll find that you've got a mind that's completely confused.
You talk in your article about kind of the reality that we encounter immediately when it comes to dealing with other human beings. I thought at first about that common encounter that I have while walking the dog. I'm out with the dog. There's another neighbor walking the dog. The dog is adorable. And I usually get it wrong because I have difficulty checking the undercarriage, so to speak. So I'll say, what kind of dog is she? Well, it's a he. Simple right. mistake. No one is offended, least of all the dog. But that's the kind of basic encounter that we have with fellow human beings where you say the reality of someone's biological sex is an undeniable reality. Talk about
that. Yeah, and it's immediately apparent. It is immediately apparent. Actually, you know, I can kind of tell girl dogs from boy dogs from an upper look. If the girl dogs are a little bit more roly-poly. But you can as easily mistake a man for a woman as you could mistake, for instance, a bull from a cow or a stag from a doe. It's impossible, really. And maybe every 50 years, you might find yourself in the company of somebody whose sex is ambiguous for more than a moment or two, you know? But even that, you may be looking at somebody who's been ill, who's lost all her hair. It's not ambiguous either. So what these people are trying to make us do is to pretend that we don't know what we immediately perceive to be the case. And we do this in order to placate their feelings, but these people, in any other walk of life, in any other endeavor, if you said to somebody, I perceive something to be the case, which is evident, and this is evidently not true, so you see little green turtles walking after you, and they're not walking after you. Any other case when we claiming something that is obviously not factual, we are described as being mentally ill, okay? Well, to say that you are really Napoleon when you're not Napoleon means that you're mentally ill. To say that you are really female when you're not, you're male, is to be mentally ill. What applies in every other aspect of life applies also in this one. There's nothing special about sex that would make us perfectly sane. If you're a man that you say that you're, and you say you're a woman, that makes it different from saying I'm Napoleon when, in fact, I'm not Napoleon.
I think about it in terms of journalism. The AP style book, at least at this point, as far as I know, has not officially adopted the alternate pronouns, and I don't even know how to pronounce most of them.
Right.
But journalists have begun, we've seen this term, transgendered woman, which we are instructed silently to do the mental gymnastics, that what we're really talking about here is a man who thinks.
Right. It breeds all kinds of confusion. And then they refer to him as she. What you've got there is a man pretending to be a woman, right? That's a transgender woman, a man pretending to be a woman, a man who thinks that he's really a woman inside. I don't even know what that can possibly mean, right? What is the man saying when he says, I am a woman in a man's body? What does that even mean? Does he mean that he thinks he has the feelings that are appropriate to someone who has a female body? But if he says that, how the heck can he know that? Because he's never had a female body. He imagines a certain set of feelings that he may associate with people who have female bodies, but it's a complete disconnect. He has never had that body. He's only guessing. He's playing a game of make-believe.
So what do you make of the now multiplying alternate pronouns, Z?
Yeah.
All of the other ones, again, I can hardly pronounce most of them.
It's a disintegration. It's a disintegration of people's capacity to engage reality. And as the pronouns proliferate, the disintegration progresses. You know what I think sometimes? I have this fantasy of my own, that I could be tyrant for a year and tell everybody without exception, get off the internet for 1 month and spend that month outdoors doing hard work. Then almost all of this stuff would clear up. Oh, what was I thinking? Would clear up like a bad nightmare that you wake up from. Because this is all insane. This is all quite mad.
What does it do, first of all, to the speak in terms of your profession, which is an English professor? What does it do to communication?
Oh, it makes communication a minefield. This is actually the political purpose of it. The political purpose is precisely to make ordinary people feel that they are to blame for ordinary perceptions and ordinary communication of those perceptions, right? You want people to step on the mines to blow themselves up. That's what I wrote in the recent public discourse article. It's designed to call attention to yourself at every opportunity, because the people who are mentally ill and who need, they don't need our ridicule, they do need our help, they need our firm guidance, but these people are desperately crying out for attention. Look at me, look at me, look at me. They can't just be ordinary Joe or ordinary Mary. They have to be special. There's no reason why they should be satisfied with a single non-pronoun. They move on to another and to another and to another and to another because their own sense of self is so tenuous and their hold on reality is tenuous. They want to make us participate in it rather than go about our ordinary business because, their whole lives are bound up in this, and they need people to play along with them.
What you're describing there, Dr. Esselin, is what I think someone else, and it doesn't occur to me right now who in particular said this, a tyranny of the autonomous self. What do you make of that phrase?
Well, that gets to a part of it. We've got this strange idea that we, of course we know, I mean, science tells us that it's not so, but it hasn't come into the depths of the consciousness of modern man yet. We think that we make our own reality. Everybody is creative. Everybody is a leader. Everybody is you as an individual. What you decide is good for you is going to be good, regardless of the laws of good and evil. This is all a lie. It's all nonsense. And people who believe in it, who believe in personal autonomy of that sort, where you define your own reality, they are the people who are most prone to follow along with every stupid fad that comes down the pike. They're easy prey to propagandists and salesmen, celebrities, mass entertainment, mass schooling, all that stuff. The people who are rooted in reality, which is outside of themselves, who acknowledge it and submit to it and submit to the moral law, which is also outside of themselves, they end up being the ones who are really individuals, okay? And at their holiest, we call them saints. These others, it's like a whole bunch of individualist lemmings rushing off the same cliff, all going their own way, which happens to be the same way, the same direction, right over the brink.
What does this assault on basic language do to public discourse, which is indispensable to living in a free society?
Well, it shuts it down, and that's its purpose, right? That's the purpose of all political correctness. The purpose of political correctness is to make sure that certain conversations about reality never occur. Okay? So for instance, if you say something innocent and you mean it in terms of praise, you say, Michelle is strong for a girl, okay? She can do 15 push-ups. Well, that's offensive. You know what? If that's offensive, then in reality is offensive, because a girl who can do 15 push-ups is a very rare girl. Guys can do 15 push-ups. I used to do 500 without stopping. But a girl who can do 15 push-ups, pretty strong for a girl, right? There's nothing offensive about saying that. It's just to acknowledge a fact. It's to acknowledge a reality. And if we can't talk like that, then what we're really saying is that reality is outlawed. And that's the purpose of people whose experiments go against reality. For instance, feminists.
What does it finally do in your classroom where you're trying to engage the language both past and present and trying to instruct young minds in that noble endeavor?
Well, it doesn't affect me as much as it would affect other people teaching in state schools or people who don't have tenure. It affects me in this regard. There are certain conversations that I know that I can't have with my students. It's not so much that I would be thrown out because of them. That's not the case. It's that I know that the students have been soaked in political correctness for so long that if I broached these things, I would hurt them, hurt their feelings. I might lose them for the rest of the course. I don't mean that they'd check out of the course in reality. I mean that they would sit there steaming. I mean, I have to treat them sometimes with kid gloves because they may not be ready for the full truth. But I know that most conversations regarding men and women can no longer be had. And that's almost wherever you may happen to be.
Dr. Anthony Esselin is professor of English at Providence College in Providence, Rhode Island. He's author of the books 10 Ways to Destroy the Imagination of Your Child and Ironies of the Faith. Has a recent column for the Witherspoon Institute titled Pronouns, Ordinary People, and the War Over Reality. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Dr. Esselin, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you very much, Todd. It was great to be here again.
We're beginning the series Justification in the Old Testament. We'll be in the book of Deuteronomy right after this break. Pastor Brian Ketchelmeyer will be our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on beautiful children's Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October is a timely, downloadable resource designed for Bible classes. It's titled Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections. Called to Vote is written by Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Ken Sherb. You can find out more and download Called to Vote on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. Called to Vote, A Christian's Approach to Elections, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, issuesetc.org.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Are you tired of working nights, weekends, and odd hours trying to cover your bases at home just to make ends meet? At the Cleaning Authority, we call that the multi-job shuffle, and we want to end that for you right now. We'll train you in our proven, efficient cleaning methods, and you'll be partnered to work in pre-qualified homes. Call 314-416-8117 and walk away from the multi-job shuffle with a future in our St. Louis office, 314-416-8117.
Are you looking for Christmas cards that combine beautiful art with a clear Christian confession? Emmanuel Press offers Christ-centered, affordable cards in a variety of designs. You'll find cards with stained glass, illumination, German frescoes, and other unique artwork found only at Emmanuel Press. Visit their website, emmanuelpress.us, E-M-M-A-N-U-E-L, press.us.